Father, bless your word now to our hearts. As we continue to read through this devotional, I pray that, Lord, even if we do forget sometimes the things we've read, Lord, those words, those times of meditation will bear fruit. They will be like seeds planted, and we won't realize sometimes at the moment how much of a wonderfully good effect they are having on our lives. To not only know about you more, but to become more like you. And as we open your word today, teach us what that means, how not to just be a hearer, but a doer. Teach us what it means to imitate our Lord, our God, our Creator, as dear children, in Jesus' name. Amen. I know you know this one. Back when they were writing the Bible, now, who really wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit, right. I mean, God wrote it, but he used men, right? He used people. He used vessels to write. And when they were writing it down, you remember how it started, right? God said, this shall be called Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, right? No. God spoke, inspired them, and they wrote, in the beginning, God. No little notations as to chapters and verses, just God's word. Chapters and verses aren't bad things, but they're not inspired. Do you know what that means? God didn't inspire the chapters and the verses. Were you aware of that? Okay, that was put in later by people to kind of help us so that when Jim would get up here and encouraging us about our readings, he could say, do you remember Isaiah 61 verses whatever, right? And we go, oh yeah, Isaiah, I could turn to it, I could go see it on the screen, flip down, and we could look at it. But they're not inspired, but they're good, they're helps. They kind of give us a place that we could reference the Word of God and share it, remember it ourselves and share it with other people. But sometimes those chapter breaks and verse breaks are a little unfortunate. They're not always in the best spots. Because sometimes it really does interrupt the thought that the preceding chapter and verse ended on. And it's one continuous thought there, and it gets interrupted. This is one of those times in Ephesians. And you might be thinking, why are we still going through Ephesians when, Easter's coming up? Well, because I'll explain that in a minute. But in Ephesians chapter 4, we were taking off stuff last week and putting on stuff, remember? We had to take off all the old stuff, the old ways, and putting on the new ways in Christ. We had to take off the old man and the lusts. We had to be renewed in the spirit of our mind and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, right? As we're born again, children of God. We're told not to lie anymore, but to speak truth. We're told to be angry, but not to sin. We're told not to give any place to the devil. We're told that if we don't steal anymore, but we work with our hands. We're told not to have any corrupt communication come out of our mouth. We're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God who seals us. We were told that all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, evil speaking, that be put away from us with all malice. We were told to be kind to one another. See, this is taking off stuff and putting on stuff. You take off the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, but you put on being kind to one another. Forgiving one another, big thing. If we don't learn to forgive, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be stumbling in your Christian walk. I'll tell you that flat out. If there's unforgiveness in your heart, you need to have the Holy Spirit show you how to deal with that and forgive. Even when somebody doesn't come to you and ask for forgiveness or they don't repent, how you don't hold on to that and you have to release that and let God deal with that unforgiveness in your heart. Because if you don't, it'll become a root of bitterness and it will drag you down in every area of your Christian walk. So we're told, do not let that unforgiveness be there, but forgive one another. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now it says chapter 5, but we're going to ignore chapter 5. So it continues, be ye therefore. Say it with me. Is it up on the screen? Be therefore what? Imitators. Of who? Let that sink in a moment. Be ye imitators of Paul, of Peter. No. Be imitators of your favorite sports star or entertainer. Be imitators of somebody that you work with that maybe you admire. No. Be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. Take off the old stuff, put on the new stuff. Be imitators of God. King James says followers. It's another word that means the same thing, because if you're truly following after somebody or discipling after somebody, you begin to look like them. You begin to act like them. You begin to talk like them. You begin to literally, a disciple puts their foot, their steps in the steps of another one. So if you can think of a snowy piece of ground that's been untouched by anybody except one person that walked through it, and you want to follow in that person's footsteps, you say, I'm going to match right where they step, I'm going to step. That's a disciple. He steps right in the other one's footsteps. Be imitators of God. Be followers of God. As dear children. Do you ever see when a little kid imitates their mom or dad? Did you ever see that? No? No, we saw that. I have. It's cute, isn't it? It's nice. Why? They look up to mom and dad. They want to be mom like mom and dad until they turn 13 and 12. And then anymore starts at like 10, 8. But they want to be like mom and dad. I think that what we should do, Colin will follow on the screen, and you can either read from the screen or take your Bible in your hand and read that way. I want to read some verses today together. I'll read out loud. You can read along with me. But I want us to read this because I want us to get the sense that as we are taking off the old and putting on the new, as we're letting all the bitterness and wrath and all that stuff leave us, as we're going to be kind and tender-hearted to one another, and we're going to learn to forgive one another, I want us to be followers of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You see, the off and the on. The take off, the on. The old, the new. The old, the new. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And he reminds us before, that's how we once were. That's how we were before Christ. And when the wrath of God was upon us, before the blood of Jesus washed our sins away. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Don't imitate them. Don't imitate them. You're different now. Why do you want to imitate the ones that you are no longer like, the ones who are on their way to hell with the wrath of God upon them? Why would we want to imitate them? For you were before sometimes, I'm reading out of King James, sometimes darkness. You used to be that way. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, not as children of darkness. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, in righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Because sometimes we don't know, but we can ask. Lord, how should I act in this situation? How can I do things that are acceptable unto you? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Oh, I would never live this way, but I could watch it on my TV. I can stream it on my computer. I can look at it, but I will never do it. But I could watch it. But I would never be that way. I would never imitate it. Okay. It's a shame to even speak of those things. But all things, verse 13, are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. What you do and what you think you do under the cover of darkness, behind a closed door, under the covers, whatever you may choose to think you're doing to hide, it'll be brought out. The light will bring it out. So, verse 14, because of all of this, if we're imitating the things we shouldn't be imitating, if we're watching the things we shouldn't be watching and think that we won't imitate it, but we eventually imitate it, what's going to happen? He says, wherefore, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Church, you can be alive and still be asleep. When we sleep, we don't die, do we? Do we die when we fall asleep and we're resurrected in the morning? The alarm clock goes off and we come back to life? No, we're alive when we're sleeping, right? He says, awake from your sleep, church. Awake. Arise. Christ will give you light. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I have to stop there before I read the last few verses to say, if you're wondering why we are still in this epistle that is really written to the church to tell us all the reasons, remember the first few chapters, of why Jesus did all this for us and what he did and the beautiful theology of it and the wonderfulness of again, who we are in Christ, and then now the practical ways that we have to live it out. Why? Because the days are evil. Do you remember the idea of provoking one another? Don't you remember that? We talked about that before. Remember, Jack remembers. All right. Amen. We provoke one another to do what? Love and good works. Why do we not forsake coming together as many have forsaken that? Why do we not forsake it? Why? Do you remember? Right. We do what? We have to exhort one another to what? Do you remember? Exhort one another. As you see the day approaching, exhort one another to do the things we're left here to do. To provoke one another. To love. To provoke one another. To exhort one another. To encourage one another. To lift up one another. As day, even more so as his day is approaching. None of us know the day or the hour, but we're supposed to know when it's near. And we are, if you've been paying attention at all, and I don't believe I am exaggerating this in the least. We are in the latter parts of the last days. And if you will say it this way, we are in the footsteps of the Messiah's return. When you see these things, know I am at the door. You have to be really asleep not to see the things that we see in our world and compare what the scripture says about the times in which we live and come away with anything but Jesus is close. So if you and I, knowing this, if you and I knowing this, are continually sleeping away, and the times when we do rouse ourselves up, we're imitating the world around us and not imitating God as dear children, then you know what? We're not provoking and exhorting within the church so that we all continue to now imitate the ones who are sleeping and we all go to sleep. And then when we go out in this world, we're just like, you know, walking like everybody else. Walking like everybody else. No, but I don't do what they do. Yeah, but you're also not doing the things you should be doing. And guess what? If you're really being honest with yourself, you've picked up a lot of traits, habits, sins that you shouldn't be doing, if we're going to be honest. Because it always was important, but even more so as the day is approaching. Church, awake. Church, awake. Church, awake from your slumber. I speak to myself as much as I speak to everybody hearing me this morning. Awake from your slumber. To walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now's the time. Now. If it's not now, when? When? Now. It's the time to be imitators of God. Now is the time that the world will see us walking circumspectly, not as fools. Recognizing that the days are evil, that the days are short, and that if they're not seeing Christ in us, who are they going to see Christ in? Don't be unwise, wherefore, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. His will, go back to the first verse, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God as dear children. Take off the old and put on the new. Walk circumspectly as wise, not as fools, redeeming the time. The days are evil. That's his will. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but, see, it's always the old and then the new. You could be drunk with wine or anything else. Put anything else in there. And don't even think just alcoholic beverages. You could be drunk with yourself. You could be drunk with pleasure. You could be drunk, you know, with, you name it, other pursuits. No, that's what we used to live for ourselves, for our own pleasure. I have been so blessed. We just finished on our Thursday night Bible study, study of Ruth. And I've taught Ruth many times. And Ruth is an amazing book and story on its own. You may not know this, but Benjamin Franklin, who was not a Christian man from any what we can see, when he was in France as an ambassador, he was part of this club and was called the Infidels Club. And one of the things that the Infidels Club did is they read short stories and brought them to the group. And they encouraged them to read them and talk about them, like a book club kind of thing. And Franklin one day brought the book of Ruth, but he changed the names and didn't tell them it was from the Bible and basically read them the story. And they were blown away. They said, we've never heard such a beautiful short story, a beautiful story, a beautiful love story. They were blown away. And then when we revealed it from the Bible, of course, like, oh, it couldn't be from the Bible, you know. Now, couldn't be something that nice, something that wonderful. But the story in the book of Ruth, the names in the Bible are significant many times. Names do mean a lot in the Bible, but in Ruth, they really mean a lot. And this man who left his home in Israel during the time of Judges, you know what was the time of Judges was? Do you know what was? It was the dark ages of Israel. You know why? Because there was no king, there was no central leader, and even though everybody knew what to do, because Joshua left them with the instructions, and by the way, Joshua said, this is what you got to do. I'm just giving you a little history if you don't remember this. And people said, we will do it. You know what Joshua said? No, you won't. And they said, we will do it. He said, no, you won't, but here, anyway. And guess what? After he died for a little while, they did it, but then they didn't do it. Because the Bible says very clearly several times in the book of Judges, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. What they thought was convenient for them, expedient for them. What seemed right, it got the job done, or this is the way we think we should do it. And it was the dark ages and things were off the rails. And if you've never read the book of Judges, it's crazy. Some things, especially the last couple chapters, some Bible commentators don't even want to comment on it because it's so dark. So during that time, this man Elimelech, there's a famine in the land, and he's got a wife and two kids. And you know what he decides to do? Go into the country of Moab, enemies of Israel. But remember, Israel, the people in Israel, were never supposed to leave the land. You're in the land, you stay in the land. You stay there. You marry there, you stay there, you die there, you know? He goes, no, I think it's better for me. There's prospects of good jobs in Moab. Let's go, people. His wife's name was, do you know that book? Naomi. Do you know what her name means? Pleasure, pleasant, pleasure. And if you understand what's happening, Elimelech's name means, my God is king. Well, my God is king decided one day to put God, knock him off the throne and make himself king. And he married, if you will, the pleasure. Not pleasure of God, but the pleasure of earthly pleasure. And when my God is king, married up with pleasure, worldly pursuits, doing things his own way, whatever he thought was right, the result was the two children, you know what their name was? Sick and pining. When we do things our way, the results are sick. They're wanting, pining, always wanting, never satisfying. We're reminded today that we need to not do what we used to do before. Elimelech died, the two boys died, they had married, and all that's left is Naomi as a widow and her two daughters-in-laws as widows. Now, the rest of the book, which I don't have the time to get into, is a beautiful story of redemption, and the names really do mean a lot in this, and maybe another time I'll share that whole thing. But suffice it to say, here we are, the Bible is telling us there's a way to do what's right, and it's God's way. Always. Whatever you might think is better, it's not. No matter how convenient it might be or expedient it might be, it's not. So don't be filled or drunk with wine where it's excess, but be filled. Yes, we need to be high on something, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be filled with something. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Because when you take away the other stuff, there's a void and it has to be filled. And you don't want to be filled with the other stuff. You want the Spirit of God to be in us. The power of God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of who? The Lord. So let's back it all up as we bring this all together. Be ye imitators of God. I don't see it as often, and probably it's well, there's a couple reasons for it. One, it may not be as popular as it once was when some of us were growing up in the 60s, 70s, you know, whenever, 80s and stuff like that. Or maybe it's because I just don't watch a lot of stuff anymore. But I don't believe that, well, let me phrase it the other way. How many of you remember growing up and used to watch, especially on TV, a lot of the variety shows, there always would be the impersonators. They used to come in and impersonate people, right? Come on, that was a big thing, right? Frank Gorshin, remember him? He was funny, right? Rich Little, right? He may have been one of the best. These guys, and they were good. They were comedians, but they were impersonators. And I used to be fascinated by that as a kid. I used to be fascinated. You know, you close your eyes and you think that's actually that person there speaking. And what made the impersonator successful as a good impersonator? Was it just because they just simply sounded like that person? Was it? No. I mean, it was more. Sometimes their faces would almost begin to take on their expressions. Even their body language, right? And the tone, not just the sound, but the tone, the pacing of their words. The words they use, the expressions that people would use. And I would be fascinated by these impersonators. And I do, what's that saying? That impression is what? The sincerest form of flattery, right? Yeah, they were probably doing it for flattery, maybe of the person, but also for their own flattery, right? But yet, we're told in the Bible to be an impersonator, but not of any human being. We're impersonators of God. Can we impersonate God's omniscience, meaning knowing everything? Can we do that? Can we impersonate God's omnipotence, is all powerful? Can we do that? We cannot impersonate those things, can we? We can't imitate. I can sit here and say, you know, let that rock return to bread. It's not going to happen. I mean, especially if I try to say it in my own authority, you know, there's nothing there. I can't do that. So we're not called to be God. We can't be. Even when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, right, which is only a drop in the bucket of all eternity. So when we're in eternity and we're in our eternal bodies, we'll never be God, right? But we're supposed to imitate him while we're here. You and I have to and have been called to look like him. Act like him, talk like him, think like him, respond like him. I'm bad at impressions. I've tried it. I did, especially when I was younger. I used to try it. I was bad at it. Sometimes when I even try to do an accent, I sound like, you know, if I try to do, you know, an Italian accent. Well, Italian's easy. I could do that one. I'm sorry. I erase that one. Yeah. If I try to do, you know, an Asian accent, I sound like I'm, you know, speaking Spanish or something. You know, it just comes out bad. I'm bad at it. I'm not good at it. But I do know enough to know that the people that are good at it, beside being gifted, they don't just do it because they're gifted that way. They study. They study the individual that they are trying to impersonate. I had to pull this off this morning, right before I left. This is from this website. I didn't put the website name down. But it's teaching people how to be an impersonator, an impressionist. They said it's a technique that can be learned pretty much by anybody to mimic people. It requires time and practice and dedication. You could start with the basics of the voice, carefully listening, observing, pay close attention to their tone, their speed, the rhythm, the accent, even to the consonants they stress. A deep voice may require contraction of your vocal cords, while a higher pitched voice may need you to talk with your throat or more of your nasal passages. Your own voice is the starting point, and then you go from there, and they're talking about all these different ways to impersonate somebody. And it says here, to get good at impressions, start by carefully studying the person or character you want to impersonate. Pay attention to their speech patterns, rhythm, pitch, accent, tone, and their body language. Practice is the key. The more you do it, the better you get. You could also take acting lessons and go on, they tell you other stuff. Listen to me. How are you and I going to imitate our God and Creator unless we know Him? And not just know about Him, know Him. I've been with Meg. We've been together, well, we were married when we were 21, but we've been together since we were 17. And the truth is, sometimes we sound alike. Sometimes we finish each other's sentences. Sometimes we look at each other and go, I was just thinking the same thing. I know her pretty well. She knows me pretty well. When you're out there in this world around us, do people say, oh, look, that one's been with Jesus? They sound a little bit like Him. They're acting a little bit like Him. Just the way they conduct themselves. There's a difference. And I find it oddly attractive. Meaning that there's something about it that I want to know more. When an impersonator sometimes will impersonate somebody who's not very popular, you may even get to the point where thinking, oh, I don't want to hear that one because I don't like that particular person or whatever it happens to be. You know what? The world is not going to always love Jesus. In fact, most of the world's going to hate Him. But yet we are called to imitate Him regardless of the reaction and the response of the people in the world around us. You know why? Because He's the only hope they have. And we're the only one that God is using in this time period of this age of grace to let the world see Him. It can take off all different forms, guys, you know that. But it starts by you and I spending time in the Word. Spending time in the Word. Spending time on our knees, on our faces, or in our quiet time of walking and driving and thinking in prayer. Considering our Lord in situations. What would Jesus do? And not just as a slogan, but as really saying, Father, help me. How would you respond? How would I respond? How am I to respond? How can I be like you? How can I imitate you? Because, Father, it's not what you just call me to do. I recognize that I want to be like you. I don't want to be like the world that I've come out of, the world that's on its way to hell. I want to be a child of the light. I want to be one who's walking not in darkness anymore. I'm freed from that. I want to walk in the light. I want to be so uniquely yours that the world will see you in me and not honor me, but come to you and glorify you and ask me about you to say, how do you do this? How are you like Him? So that we can tell them the story of what you've done in our lives and how you've changed us and you brought us from death to life and how you changed us and made us whole and we're on our way to be with you forever in heaven. And if they want, they can join too and be imitators of God as dear children. That's our call. Can you and I do it on our own? No. But He's given us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's not just a force or an energy. It is God Himself who has come to live in every believer, every born-again individual with the Holy Spirit living within them. And He has given us the power that we need to be holy. Because you know what He says? Colin, I throw up the one scripture I gave you this morning. 1 Peter. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. As we surrender and submit and say, Father, I'm bad at impersonations. not good at it. How can I impersonate you? Oh, Lord. Father, can you do in me what I can never do? Because I want to imitate you. And I can't do it with an unholy conduct. I got to take that off. But I can begin to do it as I add to my life these things that you tell me to add to my life. And as I study you, as I spend time with you, as I admire you, as I walk in your footsteps as a disciple, then the world will see you and me. And they have a hope and a chance. But you will be glorified through me. So, Father, would you do that in me? Would you do that in me? Jesus, thank you for the reminder that the days are evil. And these are the times that we've been always called to live in this way, but even more so now as the world is in chaos, as it's becoming more and more. Father, taken away by a spirit of Antichrist. It's more incumbent upon the church today to be imitators of you, of God, as the children we are. Father, your scripture says, behold, what manner of love is this, that we have been called to be the children of God. So let us act as it. So, Father, let that be our heart's desire. But we admit it. We're bad. We can't do it. Will you give us the power by your Holy Spirit to be imitators of you in every way? And not just from the external only, but start in the inside, Father. Let us be internally who we are in Christ so that the external part of our life matches up with everything that's going on inside. And Lord, we do pray this because of the evil days, that many would come to know you and be saved. But then also, Lord God, that above all things, we would imitate you, that you would be glorified. For you are worthy of that praise. In Jesus' name, amen.